All right, before I start this lesson, I want us to understand what I did yesterday. It was Easter, right? So what do you do on Easter? You got eggs, you got grandkids, you got Easter baskets, you got candy, right? You got little bunnies and little signs that say Happy Easter. My wife, I don't know where she went, but she saw, and everybody said, "Oh, that's just so cute. Where'd you get that?" Right? It was just a little bunny she picked up, a little sign that in the colors, pastel colors, it said Happy Easter, right? It's real cute, right? Had people over, we ate, and we did the Easter egg hunt with the kids. You know, when you're a kid and your parents tell you about Santa Claus, right? I'm not breaking any news here, right? We all know who Santa Claus is. Okay, all right, let's make sure. Your parents tell you about Santa Claus, and you know, we buy that, man. We go right in for it, right? But as we get older, you know what the reason we don't believe in Santa Claus? Is because we realize that some dude can't travel the world at night. We don't even have a chimney, right? He can't come down the chimney, as he says he does. We lock our doors, and we realize that what's being said just doesn't make sense, right? It's not that we say, we don't come to our parents and say, "Santa ain't real, is he?" We say, "How does Santa get into our house if we don't have a chimney?" Right? See, we think it out. It just doesn't make sense. And so, as being a Christian, we celebrate Christmas and Easter, right? And these are big time, right, in the Christian world. Big time, right? And I'll tell you the problem I have with that at the end. I'll share something with you at the end. But these are big time holidays, right, for the Christian. But as people say, okay, so we have Easter, okay, so we go to church, we dress up, and we have the Easter egg hunts, we have the bunnies and stuff. And then as you grow in the faith, you start asking yourself, the question I ask myself is like, what do bunnies and chocolate and eggs have to do with Christ? Right? It's reasonable, right? With the Santa Claus thing, right? We bought it. Everybody did it. Each kid comes to school the next day and tells them what cool gift that Santa got. Right? The girls come with the clothes that Santa brought them. Right? It's a reasonable question. But before I answer this, I want us to understand what I did with my family yesterday. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with Christmas trees. There's nothing wrong with presents, right? There's nothing wrong with pastel colors, little Easter baskets, right? Kids being excited. There's nothing wrong with these things. But where I have the problem is that the world doesn't want us going into their homes and telling them what to do. The world shouldn't come into the church and start to pass something along, right? That's called sneaking in the back door. And that's just what the elders are supposed to watch out for, false teachings. And you think, well, Jesus did raise. I don't have a problem celebrating the day he raised. But if we're going to celebrate the day he raised in the service, in church, we shouldn't also connect that with the bunnies, the chocolate, and the eggs. And I'll show you why. You know, Easter never falls on the same day each year. Why is that? You ever wondered about that? And I dig around. I look and this guy started off with the question. So part of this is some of the things that he said, and the ending is where I believe it should have went. He didn't go that way, but he gave me some dates here because and got me to thinking. Is Christmas is always on the same day, right? December 25th. You know, God forbid it should fall on a Sunday when we go to church, because when that happens, most of the time who celebrate the birth of Christ, they don't even go to church that day, right? Because it's too more important to be at home around that Christmas tree with their kids and grandkids than it is to be here worshiping the birth of His Son. Pay attention. And when Christmas falls on a Sunday, a lot of services will close. Because it's Christmas, right? Family time. Jesus isn't really part of the family, right? That's what they're telling Him, right? Hey, we're having Christmas dinner. Oh, what time? Well, it's just for family. You're not really invited, but you're welcome to come over after everybody leaves. Yeah, About six then? Well, that's what you're telling God, right? But Christmas always falls on the same day. Do you know why Easter doesn't fall on the same day? Ever crossed your mind? Didn't cross mine. We've always celebrated Easter. And then you start asking yourself these questions, and then you start realizing, and you start seeking answers. And you have answers, right? April 9th, that's the day. Yes, it is. You know when Easter was last year? See, bless you. See, Christmas, if Christmas is on a Sunday this year, then next year Christmas will be on a Monday. Right? We know that because the calendar year pushes it out. Or backs it up. I don't know. I think it pushes it out. But Easter's not that way. You would think that it would be, right? That it would just kind of float back and forth during the week. But it didn't do that. You know why? Guess what Easter was last year? It was April 17th. Why is that? The year before that, it was April 4th. Why do we switch the days? If we're picking a day like we do at Christmas, I don't have a problem celebrating the day that Jesus was born because it is right to celebrate His birth. The angels worshipped. In Luke, we see that the angels in the heavens, they sang at the birth of Christ. They even announced Him. But celebrating His birth is not more important than celebrating His death. So here we have these two holidays that are mega holidays. And the word holiday comes from, you know, holy day, right? So we have His birth and His death. And so I understand these things. How we do them is kind of messed up. But why does Easter flip-flop back and forth? You see, Easter is not regulated by date. Easter is regulated by the solar system. Did you know that? And you're like, hey, man, I'm just here to because it's Easter. I want to celebrate the birth of Christ. I mean, the resurrection of Christ. You know, you're talking about the solar system and stuff. You know, I think you've been taking some crazy pills. You're not, you know, this is not what we come here to hear. Well, I tell you what you did come here to hear is the truth. And I'm asking a legitimate question. How come Easter is not on the same day every year? And the answer to that is because it's regulated by the solar system. And so you think, okay, you got my interest. I don't really like this, right? This is not what I was expecting, but you've got my interest. Easter always comes after the first Sunday, after the first full moon, after the equinox. Do you know that? Why would that matter? What difference does that make? You know what the equinox is? It's the equal part where the day and the nights are the same. You get 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of darkness, right? Sun rises at 7, sun sets at 7. Sun rises at 7:45, sun sets at 7:45. So the day shifts when the equinox happens, when the planets and the sun align, and the first Sunday after the equinox. Full moon's got to come first, I guess, because of the way the placement comes about. And then after you see the full moon, you have the equinox. Why would the resurrection of Christ be centered around something this weird? Well, is it not just as weird that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ with bunnies and eggs and chocolate? I'll give you the answer. You see, during the Holy Roman Empire, they worshipped a multitude of gods. A multitude of gods, right? We know that. They had the temples to this, they had the temples to that, and they were okay with these worship of these gods because some believed in the strength. You know, if we got our strength and we're controlling the world and it come through these gods, we don't want to anger them, so we do this. They had temples of the unknown god, and then some people, the governments really realized that religion is useful because it keeps people at bay, right? It increases morality. And even happiness, because you're willing to go through hardships if you believe in a God, right? Any God. You believe in a God, you're sacrificing for that God, it's easier. And so for the empire, they can put hardships on you, and you'll praise God for it, because you get strength out of it, right? So the Roman Empire worshipped a multitude of gods. But if you all go back to Babylon, and that is, just so we know, Babylon is the ones that ultimately took Israel into captivity. That's when the northern and the southern kingdom were done, right? A pagan goddess that goes all the way back to Babylon, her name was Ishtar. Never heard of her? The goddess of fertility. You see, the Greeks called her Venus. I know you've heard of her, right? Zeus, Apollo, Venus. Right, because the Romans held the world for over 1,300 years. See, when I put Venus on here, you didn't realize I was talking about Ishtar, but do you know that is where we get our word Easter from? That's what it means. And you think, well, that's just kind of weird, isn't it? See, when you go back into the days of Babylon, they worshiped this god of fertility called Ishtar, and they believed that she became more active in spring. Why would they believe she became more active in spring? Because they saw the world around them light back up with the colors. The leaves and the blooms, and it's just beautiful. Bathing suit season. Yeah, we get to get out in the sun and go to the beach and have a good time. Right? So, you have all of this that the world is lighting up with colors and the world is becoming alive again, because during winter it just kind of looked dead, right? You look at a tree, it doesn't have anything on it. And all of a sudden it starts to bloom. And so they contributed this to the god of Ishtar, right? They worshipped a multitude of gods also. And so this practice carried on. The Greeks are actually the one that called them Venus. And then you had the Romans, because you had the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians conquered them. Then you had the Greeks that conquered the Medo-Persians. And you had Rome that conquered the Greeks. So these worships and these false gods come through all of this. And so we have this Ishtar that was worshipped as a god of fertility. And that's where we get our word Easter from. Greeks called her Venus. The egg and the rabbit is a perfect symbol of fertility, was also used. To go back to the Medo-Persians, they also added to the worship of Ishtar. They added, once they conquered the Babylons, the rabbit and the egg, is because nothing is more fertile than a bunny. Right? If you ever had on a farm and you ever had rabbits, you will know that they will multiply extremely fast, because all they do is that and eat. Right? That's all they do. A shark, on the other hand, they eat and kill. They're a perfect killing machine. So the rabbit would be the perfect reproducing machine, right? If you don't look at it in that sense. So all of a sudden, we have Easter, a rabbit, and we have eggs. These were all pagan holidays. These were all pagan holy days. These were all things that pagans worship the universe, that worship the sun, that worship the moon and stars, and they did this. Okay? How did all this get into the church? Nothing wrong with celebrating a day that Jesus rose. It's simply that we take the world's definition of that and try to push it on the church. So how did all of this come about? How did this all carry on till today? Well, if anybody knows anything about history, and you know how you know about history, either someone tells you or you take the time to go look, okay? So I didn't know this. I had to take the time and go look. We've studied from Christ. We studied how Christianity came up through the years, parts that history doesn't show. They really start with Constantine. That's where they go from Jesus, Peter, to Constantine. They don't really talk much about that period in between, but Constantine started taking some of the holidays, the holy days of these pagan worshipers, right? They started taking some of these, and they started putting them to Christianity. They thought, we'll be able to get converts from the pagans to Christ. Because what they were doing was showing these people that you want to celebrate birth, rebirth, you want to celebrate the budding and the earth coming alive again, we'll show you who the giver of life is. See, all of this sounds good, right? You have the Constantine saying, we want to show you that Jesus is really the God of fertility. He's the one that brings about true life, and He's the one that brings the world back from the dead. Sounds like a wonderful thing, right? This is a great idea. And so they pushed it over and over and over. And so that's how we have we look at ourselves today and say, well, we've always done this, right? We've always done this. But there's a reason why adults don't believe in Santa Claus. Because they ask questions. And they realize the answers they were given didn't make sense. And so then you find out that your parents were just pulling your leg, right? It's okay, right? We all love that idea of Santa Claus bringing us the gifts. You know, the Easter Bunny, the Cadbury eggs and stuff. That's all good stuff. But this is where that come from. See, Papal Rome, and when I say Papal Rome, do you know that Catholicism, Catholics, is called the Holy Roman Catholicism, so the Holy Roman Empire, Roman Catholic. Rome is not a religion. Rome is a place. Rome is a government. Catholic is a term that used to represent the universal church, right? So Roman Catholic, the Papal Empire here, the Papal Rome, they ruled the world for about 1,300 years. And guess what? In the time about 300 AD with Constantine, guess what they did? They took all of these things that they were thinking about that would bring people to Christ, and they taught them throughout the whole world. You know why? Because they had control. So they taught them over and over and over. And people come, and this is what they did. In time, this is how they celebrated the resurrection of Jesus, through bunnies, eggs, chocolates. Right? That's where we're at, right? We bring this into the church. But see, in Acts 12:4, so when they had arrested him, they put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. If you look at the King James Version, and only the King James Version, I believe, guess what word you'll see there instead of Passover? You'll see Easter. But do you know what this word Passover means? It is the Jewish festival. It is the Jewish festival. The Passover. The Lamb. This word is what it means. And the reason they did that is because they thought, okay, after the resurrection of Jesus, they didn't celebrate Passover anymore. They celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. And so they put the word Easter there. But what the apostles were doing is during the Passover, they were going to the people. Same concept that the Holy Roman Empire had, said, you know what, if we tell them who Jesus is and we bring their pagan holiday over into ours, they'll filter to Christ. So they were going to these people at the Passover who were celebrating the Lamb. Guess what? They were telling them who the real Lamb was. They were telling them it was Jesus. Because this Passover is the same word that's used here in Luke 22:15. This is when Jesus came with His disciples, and He says, then He said to him, with fervent desire, to eat this Passover with you before our supper. You know what we call this? The Last Supper. This is before Jesus died. So the word Passover used then and the word Passover used here, it's the same. So let's take Easter and put it here. When He says, you know, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Easter with you. Doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense if you put it the other way either. It's the same word. It was the Passover. And He was instituting the Lord's Supper during the Passover to show that His was the blood of the Lamb that was going to forgive the sins, not roll them back. Same word. So, all of this, and you talk about, well, you know, you did the Easter egg hunt, you did the bunny thing, you did the coloring of the eggs, you did the Easter basket. What's the big deal? Right? Or do you think that I'm just on some power trip here and then I've got this small group of people and then I just want to rule? I just want to show you the truth. And for some people, the truth makes them mad. For some people, the truth makes them think. And for some people, truth makes them want to actually follow the truth. So I just want to show you the truth. What you do with it is your decision. But as long as we keep bringing it into the church, and I think when we're done here, I think you'll see that this is very detrimental. As long as we keep bringing it into the church, I'm going to keep preaching this on this day. Something similar to this. We took over a holy day from another religion. Holiday. from another religion and showed those pagans who worshiped Ishtar, the bunnies and the egg, who actually caused the spring to come and who is the true giver of life. And so when you look at that, you think this was not a bad idea, right? This was not a bad idea. But in 1 John, we see 2:18 through 21, he says, little children, excuse me, it is the last hour. Who's the little children? That's us. Yeah, that's us. That's the church, right? You know why I called them little children? Because they were just beginning to learn. They didn't have scripture yet. They still had prophets in the church because they couldn't turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're the little children. And little children need to listen to the one telling them the truth, right? The adult in authority over. We don't like to do that, right? Because we think we know better until we grow up. And all of a sudden, somewhere in our minds, it just clicks that, you know, they kind of knew what they were talking about. But we have to learn the hard way. I did, and I guess you do. I don't know. Maybe some people just escape it because they're just better than me. I don't know. That's how we learn. Anyway, little children. He's calling us little children. Does that bother you? I was like, y'all are just little children now, right? But see, I'm the same little child that I'm learning. I should be maturing. If I'm up here teaching you, I should know what I'm talking about. But it doesn't take away that little children also infers to me too. He says it's the last hour. You know what the last hour means? This is God's last attempt, His last effort. All you were going to get was the revelation of His Son. He said it's the last hour. There's nothing coming after this. So you better be ready. He says, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and that is a teaching against Christ, that is the spirit against Christ. False religion. Who's behind false religion? The man that set it up or the devil? Right? That's the spirit of the Antichrist behind that. Okay, we can understand that. Anyway, it says, even now many Antichrists have come by which we know that it is the last hour. And this is what I want to show us. They went out from us. Who is the they? We were the little children. But who was the ones that went out from under them? When he says they went out from among us, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Antichrist. He's talking about the false teachings. He says, though they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. How do we follow the apostles today? Because they're all dead. How do we follow the apostles today? By the word. The doctrine. The reason these people were considered led by the spirit of Antichrist is because they left the apostles' doctrine. They were bringing things into church that had no business being there, where they were binding things to salvation that the apostles never did. And so you start to think, if we bring a pagan holiday into the church and talk about Easters and bunnies and stuff, is that what he's talking about here? Well, you know, if that crept in and we just accept it blindly and we just do it every day, there could be other things that have crept in too, right? Think about that. Things that you just accept and don't think anything about it. I've shown you one here that's kind of crept in and we don't think nothing about it because we've always done it, right? Knowing the truth matters. But verse 20 and 21, I want you to see, because of what I just said, knowing the truth matters. But you have the anointing from the Holy One. What is that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And it says, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that the lie, no lie is of the truth. So here we have a lie, right, that we're bringing onto the church. That this is what was celebrated. This is how it was done. And if we don't celebrate this, boy, you're just not really a good Christian, right? We don't do this, you're not a good Christian. You have to be here on Easter because this is His resurrection day. If you're not here any other time, we want you to be here on Easter. It's important. No lies of the truth. You see, if the devil introduces a lie, it's not to help the world or help the Christian. So when he brought this lie into the church, it wasn't to help you. It was to hurt you. And you think, well, how does telling somebody about the true giver of life hurt? Ephesians 5:8-11 says, for you were once in darkness. Who is he talking to when he says you? Come on now, somebody get to him. Who's he talking to when he says you? Yeah. He's talking to us. Right? He's talking to the person reading. He's talking to the Christian. The world doesn't read the Bible. The Christian does. And so when you're looking, he says, for you were once in darkness, you're like, man, I feel pity that poor soul. Yeah, that was talking to us. Right? He's talking to us. For you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. See, that's what we just read in 1 John. We have the anointing from the Holy One. No lies of the truth. And he says we walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 11 is what I want us to see. How do you show the truth of God? Do you walk around with the lie and just carry it around and just think, woo, this is great. Everybody loves me. Everybody, because I don't ruffle any feathers. I just do. I'm just carrying this along. It's showing the true giver of life. This isn't so bad. How do you show the truth? He tells us right here. That's what the context is. But you're now in the light of the Lord. Walk in that light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now that unfruitful work right there. Does this even work anymore? That lie. That's the unfruitful work of darkness. That lie. What does he say to do to that lie? Expose it. That's what he says. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful darkness, so stay away, right? We brought it into the church, right? We brought this into the church. We're not staying away from it. We do it. Because if you don't show up on Easter, what do we think? People that are in the church, what do we think? Gosh, they didn't even show up on Easter. They're not even a good Christian. Are they even a Christian at all? Stay away from it. We brought it into the church. We carry it around, right? We carry it around as a badge. And he says, don't bring it in, don't have fellowship with it, but expose it. This is what I'm doing. You know how you expose a lie? You tell somebody the truth. What'd you do when you got home? Well, you wanted me to run the vacuum and unload the dishwasher, so I did that. And she goes and sees the hair on the floor from the dog. It comes out in clumps every once in a while, and she's like, and she goes, checks the dishwasher, and it's not been unloaded. So what do you think she's going to do? Yeah, we used to have Lauren as our dishwasher unloader, but I've missed her. Yeah. You think she's going to look the other way and just act like nothing went wrong? And we're just talking about dishes. She's going to expose me. I thought you said you didn't do nothing. I'm out working and I went and I even stopped and got you something. You couldn't even unload the dishwasher. See, she's not going to act like that nothing went wrong, is she? She's going to expose it. This is talking about dishes. I'm talking about our souls. Well, what in the world has this got to do? Really, what is the big deal here with bringing Easter into the church, bringing Christmas into the church? I'll show you. We're dealing with the blood of His Son. We're dealing with a covenant that was made in His blood. We are dealing with the tears of God, the sacrifice of God. And you want to bring that to the table and you want to lie about it? God will not look the other way when it comes to this. You see, do you know what Christmas and Easter, remember I told you these were the holy days? Do you know what people who go to church all the time, some of them, you know what they call people who only come on Christmas and Easter? You know what they call them? Well, let's all get ready because the CEOs are coming, right? Church and Easter only. So you, yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. I'm just Christmas and did you say Christmas? Am I saying sure? Yeah. So these are Christmas and Easter only. And so here you can start to see the problem that there is here. The church is letting you know that if you come on Christmas and you come on Easter, you're okay. So as you see the King of Glory laying here as a man and someone's getting ready to drive a spike through him. He's doing it for you, right? Not for him. Pilate even said, I've seen nothing wrong with this man. The ruler of that place Pilate, who had the authority under God, because Jesus told him that he had no authority unless it's been given from above, to let him live. And he's laying there as a man, and he's getting ready to get a spike driven through his wrist. And then they raised him up, bruised and battered. Right? The blood of the Son of God pouring out. And we see who actually did that. Us. You want to think that you're something? I want you to understand that you were the one that drove the nails into that, to that man's hand, to the Son of God. You crucified him. I did. I did this. Right? Y'all look at me and think I'm something. I did this. There's not one denomination today that will not take communion. Not one. Not one that professes that Jesus is their Savior. Every one of them will have communion today. You know why? Because it's Easter. It's Easter. And they celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. They're telling you that this table, this body and blood that we see up here, is directly part of His resurrection. And they say, Easter. And so we take the blood. What are they going to do next week? They profess that the very blood of our risen Savior is here at this communion table. But next week, they trample that blood by excluding it from the table of worship. That's the problem I have with Easter. It's because they tell you that it's okay that you come today and you partake of the blood of the covenant. But next week, they don't even have it. And they want to say that you can come before God and worship without blood. Without the blood of His Son. God help them. God help me for... if I wasn't to say something about this. The same Savior that we worship today, the same Savior, how we worshiped Him today by partaking of this blood, is the exact same way we did it the week before and next week. But by bringing Easter into the congregation, by allowing this lie and celebrating this lie of the devil, there are people who think that it's okay next Sunday that they don't take the blood. That's the problem I have with that. If you do not partake of the blood of Christ, He is not here in the worship service. And you dare come before God without the blood of His Son. Something that you did, and you don't bear that blood when you come before Him to worship. I got a real problem with that. And by bringing Easter into the church, that this is the day, man, this is the day that it soothes the conscience for next week. May not even come. You know why? Because you showed up on Easter. You did what God wanted you to do. You came on Easter. Right? This is coming from a guy who had the bunnies, the eggs, the chocolate, all that stuff. Right? In my own backyard. But I'm not bringing that into the church. This day that we worship Him is the same day that we'll worship Him next Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. It's the day that He rose. This is an appointment that He has made with you. And whether if you're here or not, He's waiting on you. And when He doesn't see you, that hurts Him that He doesn't see you. You know why? Because you were part of that covenant. You are His, remember, little children. He cares that you're not here because He knows that if you're not here, you're out playing with darkness. You're out playing with a lie. And you're going to find yourself in a place where He can't get you anymore. You know why? Not because He's not strong enough, but because you have looked at the blood of the covenant and you've trampled it underfoot because everything else in your life is more important than being here. And that's the problem I have with Easter, because when you come today, your conscience is soothed. Please come back next week. Right? Why? Because we're doing the same thing next week. We're celebrating His resurrection. We serve a risen Savior. You want to set apart a day, one day? I'm okay with that. But don't bring all the other stuff in here. And don't think that because you celebrate this one day that you don't have to do it ever again until next year. That's a lie. Peter, when he stood up on the day of Pentecost, you know, and he preached the first gospel sermon found in Acts chapter 2, and he told them, he said, Let the house of Israel assuredly know that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And we hear those words, right? So let me put it in perspective. Let all the ones sitting here today know that we've spoken of the risen Savior. We've told you about the blood of the covenant. And if you choose not to come next week, then you are guilty of the body and blood of Jesus. Puts it in a little better perspective, doesn't it? You see, because he told those Jews, he said, you say you worship God, you killed him, and God is even merciful enough that he lets you worship him through that blood that you shed. Now, things happen that we're not here. I understand that, okay? I understand that. God understands that, but understand that there is never an excuse that man can give for you to be away from this table. Never. Not from me, not from the person closest to you, nobody. That is your choice. And if you're not able to, do you think God is a merciless God and that He's going to strike you dead because you were literally unable to lift your head off the pillow? I don't think so, right? He's a merciful God. But we need to understand that this is serious business to Him. This is the blood of His Son. We are covenant keepers. Easter does not satisfy that covenant. Daily faithfulness satisfies that covenant. And coming around this table on the Lord's Day to worship with the blood of His Son, that satisfies that covenant. And so Peter told him, he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And they said when they heard this, they were like, oh my gosh, what have I done? I took my dad's car, his Corvette, his 66, his 68, I just took it out, I just wrecked it, oh my gosh, he's going to kill me. Right? And I can guarantee you that if your dad had a pristine Corvette sitting in his garage and you took it out and wrecked it, he is going to kill you. He is going to kill you. This is what happened. They realized that the one had come to save them, they killed. And even in the great mercy of God, he said, that blood that you shed, he said, you can worship me through it. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. Do you know inevitably that message that he preached cost him his head? Cost him his life. He could have lied. He could have went with the Jews. He could have said that the law and Christ, they could get hooked up, and it all kind of made sense a little bit, right? He could have just made that truth real fuzzy, right, where we couldn't see the edges, but he didn't do that. He told the truth. Why? He exposed what they did. I killed the Son of God, and through that blood, He allows me to worship Him. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?